on Friends Plaza in Urbana right now. It's 44 degrees at 8:50, and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Thursday morning, everyone. This morning, USDA released export sales data for the week ending November 1st. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat, 0.5, and there were a lot of buybacks and cancellations this week. Over 301,000 tons. Corn, 59.3 for this year and 1.7 for next year. And soybeans this year, 22.6. We'll discuss the implications of those numbers for the opening bell at the Chicago Board of Trade in just a few minutes with Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. Record large supplies of slaughter-ready hogs continue to weigh on prices this week, and early calls for the Midwest direct markets are steady to as much as $1 per hundredweight lower. Terminals are called mostly steady to weaker with top prices from $30 to $34.50. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $30. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Wednesday, November 7th, negotiated swine purchases were 13,487. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $39.50 to $49.73. The weighted average was $45.67, a loss of $1.31 from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $31.77 to $39.65. The weighted average was $35.97. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were $13,670, the base price range $38.50 to $50.20. The weighted average was $47.13, a loss of $1.48 from Tuesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $31.06 to $38.38, and the weighted average was $36.07. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is meteorologist Scott Althoff. Good morning, Scott.
Thank you very much, Dave. Well, rain fell in 30% of Brazil's summer crop country Wednesday and early this morning. Most of the precipitation fell from Mato Grosso do Sul in southern Goiás to southern Minas Gerais and northern Sao Paulo. Rainfall through midnight ranged from 7/10 of an inch, most often with few amounts over 1 inch in far southeastern Minas Gerais near the Rio de Janeiro border. High temperatures were in the upper 70s in a few east central crop areas, while most upper 90s to near 100 occur in northern areas and western Bahia. Today's forecast has not changed significantly that of Wednesday. Most of Brazil's most important crop areas will still get rain periodically during the next couple of weeks. The situation will prove ideal for long-term crop development potential. Some areas may get a rain a little bit too often. Some field work may slow down for a little while. The driest conditions will continue in far northeastern Brazil, where some areas will see some significant delays. Temperatures will be seasonally warm today, with highs in the middle 80s and 90s common. Cooling will occur from the south to north Friday through the weekend, with highs late in the weekend and early next week varying from the 70s and 80s south and 80s to lower 90s elsewhere. Some warmer temperatures will persist in northeastern parts of the nation until significant rain falls. Temperatures should be seasonal range most of next week and in the following weekend outside of the far northeast. In Argentina, a cluster of thunderstorms moving to central Argentina overnight. As of early this morning, rainfall was a 1/10 to 6/10 of an inch was suspected from Cordoba through Entre Rios and Buenos Aires since midnight. High temperatures Wednesday were in the upper 70s and 80s in far south and mostly in the middle 80s and lower 90s, middle 90s elsewhere. Dry areas in northern Cordoba were also the warmest. Showers and thunderstorms will impact a large part of Argentina over the next few days. Rainfall of 3/10 to 1 inch will occur most often, but several areas will see 1 to much as 2.5 inches of rain. The precipitation will bring some dryness relief to parts of Cordoba, but follow-up moisture will still be required. The greatest rainfall will occur in central and eastern crop areas. Now, once the rain ends Saturday, follow-up precipitation is expected to be brief and light, with weather disturbances expected to early next week again from November 17th to 19th. Environment for Argentina crops and fieldwork should remain mostly good. Temperatures will continue to bounce around greatly over the next week. Temperatures will be warmest today with many 70s and 80-degree highs in the south and readings in the 90s to more than 100 possible in parts of the north. The extreme heat in the north may continue Friday, but far southern areas will cool noticeably into the 60s and 70s. Cooling will spread northward during the weekend with southern areas seeing some moderation in temperature, and warming will occur briefly early next week before another surge of cold air drops in the nation late in the week. There is no risk of crop damaging cold. Extreme lows may slip into the upper 30s and lower 40s in the far south early next week. And temperatures in the second week of the forecast will trend on the warmer side. In the Midwest, no significant precipitation occurred in the Corn Belt Wednesday or early this morning, although snow and rain showers occurred downwind from the Great Lakes. High temperatures were in the upper 30s to 40s and in the 50s across the southwest. Low this morning were in the 20s and 30s in the northwest areas and in the 30s and 40s across the south. Today's official forecast has not changed much from of Wednesday. We did increase rainfall coverage and intensity for Tuesday and Wednesday in eastern parts of the Midwest. We also decreased precipitation chances for late next week into the following weekend due to the likelihood of a strong high-pressure system being in place during that period of time. Storm system will likely hold off until at least November 18th. Temperatures will be above average in the western and northern parts of the Midwest over the coming 5 days. Temperatures in the southeast may be a little closer to normal, and cooling should occur across most of the Midwest for a little while next week, but temperatures will not likely be cooler than usual in very many areas for very long. The second week of the two-week outlook will generate above-average temperatures for most of the Midwest once again. That's your growing areas weather. I'm meteorologist Scott Oldhoff.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In the Wednesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 8.10 and 3 quarters, down a half, last trade up 3 quarters. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 7.87 and a quarter, down a half, last trade down a quarter. July, 6.89 and 3 quarters, down 1 and 3 quarters, last trade unchanged. December corn opened at 3.83 and 3 quarters, down a half, last trade up 2 and a quarter. March, $4.75, down a half, last trade up 2. July, $4.20, down a half, last trade up 1. November beans open at 10.21, down 2 and 3 quarters, last trade up 4 and a half. July, 10.62 and a quarter, up 3, last trade down a quarter. December soybean meal open at 281.90, unchanged, last trade up 60. December soybean oil open at 43.49, down 15, last trade up 26. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgReview in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
Well, after a week where the corn export sales were down in the 20s, it came roaring back this week.
Yeah, they sure did. 59.3 million bushel was big. The trade wasn't looking for anything nearly that good. As a matter of fact, they were looking for stuff more along the line of what we got a week ago. We're still beating what we need to meet USDA's projection, which suggests that maybe on Friday, USDA will raise that export number from 2.35 billion bushel. Steady, maybe three or four higher. I think the key number to watch tomorrow on the report is the world stocks number. Looking for 110 million metric tons. Anything much higher than that would be negative, much lower, of course. Positive. Crop size in the U.S. around 13.3.
And in the wheat, boy, it got battered in the export sales this week.
Yeah, it did. And that's kind of a surprise, but when you look at the daily reporting, all the sales are going elsewhere. Just for instance, today, Turkey bought Russian, Kazakhstan, EU wheat, Cuba bought Canadian wheat. So that's kind of what's happening there. We'll be up two to seven. Today in the wheat.
And in the beans, it looks like sales are beginning to pick up ever so slowly.
They are picking up slowly, and I think that's kind of a function of how strong the bean oil has been. We made a new high for that nearby month going all the way back to 1974. That's the beginning of the time when I was watching these markets. Soybeans will come in two to four higher.
What do we make of the fact that the markets have been tracking with outside markets?
That's typically the case when you've got a real speculative market going. I was very pleased yesterday to see commercials buying corn calls. We haven't seen a whole lot of commercial activity there in the corn. We're starting to see some commercial activity. That's sustainable, and that's something that won't be linked necessarily to these outside markets.
Turn your attention over to the Merck, please.
At the Merck, I think we're going to see a mixed bag both on the cattle and the hogs. I anticipate that packers so short bought these cattle, they're going to have to offer a little more money, so we may end up with a little firmer market. We're just, every time we kind of poke our heads up in the cattle, though, we get knocked back down, just lots of overhead resistance. I think we're going to be down 40 to up 20 type thing, both in the cattle and the hogs.
And should producers be hedging 2008 grains at these price levels?
We have been using those as hedge-to-arrive contracts or hedge sales, not locking in the flat cash just because the basis isn't where we'd like to see it. But, yeah, we sure are using those.
Thank you very much, Ellen. You have a wonderful day. Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. She joins us every Thursday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org. It's 9:01 Central Time.